Well, hello, and thank you for joining in today in this recording. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I praise the Lord that you've decided to get into God's Word and study God's Word because you love Him and because we have been we've been commanded to study His Word. The Lord said for us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I hope that you've been having a good day. We've been getting a lot of rain here where I'm at. But praise the Lord for filling up all the underground aquifers, huh? And we won't run out of water. We can't live without that. The Lord is, I just reading in Exodus this morning about how the Lord is good, His goodness and His mercy and His grace, and how He's His mercy lasts forever. You know, it's when we get in times of trouble and times of tribulation in our life, before we begin to realize when we're starting to come out of it and things start prospering again, that we understand that God has been faithful to us, and that He's never let us down in any way. And the Lord has never let me down. Even when I purposely sometimes sit around and try to find something that to where, I mean, I don't do it like I used to do it, but I trust the Lord. But there have been times in my life where I sit down and I tried to examine my life that was behind me and tried to find out where the Lord had failed me. And I've never found one. I've never found one place where the Lord has not been faithful to me, and that He hasn't been kind to me. And no matter what the circumstance came out to in the end, the result was that the Lord done what was best for me, and brought me through it at some of the most undeserving times, when it was my fault and everything was because of my doing, and then some of the things that were not my doing. So the Lord is faithful all the time. You can trust Him, and when you honor His word, He'll honor you in return. I promise you that. If you can find a place where the Lord has let you down, you call me and tell me about it. You write me on my email and tell me about it. And I'd like to discuss that with you, because the Lord promised that He would never leave us nor forsake us. So He cares enough that He's going to be our Heavenly Father and going to be the best Father that we could ever have. And He does. He takes His fatherhood very seriously. And He fathers us. Like a father ought to. Now, I'm a father, and I failed my children. And some of you fellows might have failed your children. Some of you might not be, and that's good. But either way, the Lord has never failed any of us, and we have to give Him that credit and give Him that glory, and we should. So today, first thing I want to do today is I forgot to give you the scriptures for our last lesson on the last part of that. You remember that? You probably got your pencils and waiting for me, and you say, you better give me those scriptures, and I'm glad you're that way. But let me give you those. Where we left off was scriptural examples for forgiveness. You remember that? And I want to give you the scriptures for the very last part of the last lesson, forgiveness and forgiving. And there's another thing I want to mention. I think I made a boo-boo on something that I said concerning scriptural examples of forgiveness and forgiving when I was talking about Shimei and talking about Solomon. I think I got them mixed up when I was talking and talking about how they had forgiven, and I got it mixed up somehow. I don't remember exactly how, but if you caught that, then I apologize for that. And I got finished with the lesson, and the Holy Ghost usually he lets me know where I've made mistakes and things that I need to correct. And I told you at the beginning of these studies that I wasn't perfect, and that if I was going to, if I made a mistake, that I would correct it. And if I didn't, then you write and correct me. And by the way, let me give you my email. And you're welcome to email me about anything concerning the scriptures. I've got nothing to hide, and I don't intend on hiding anything. I believe the Word. The Word of God is real. The Word of God lives. And I believe it, whether you do or anybody else does it at all. I believe it can answer any question and any situation. And I believe that that if you go at the Word of God honestly and with sincerity, that it will prosper you in anything that you want to know. The Lord promised that that if we ask, we would receive. But He's talking about people that come to Him and believe in Him, and talking about sincere and honest people. He's not talking about manipulators and liars and everybody else that wants to come and make a fool out of Him. He's not going to take that kind of garbage from nobody, and He shouldn't have to. We don't like it, so we shouldn't treat the Lord like that, right? So, anyway, I apologize for that, and let me give you that email. I love WMR forever at gmail.com. I love WMR forever at gmail.com. And you email me anytime that you want to about any kind of questions that you have. I'm not saying I'm smarter than you or anything like that, but I'll go out of my way to hunt the scriptures to find your answer. And if you want copies of these lessons, I can send them to you from email to email, and you can print them and you'll have them, and you can do them, and you can teach them to your family, and you should. So here's the scriptures. You ready? Genesis chapter 33, verse 4 through 15. Genesis chapter 45, verse 8 through 15. Then we have Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 through 13. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 18 through 23. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 52 and 53. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Acts chapter 7, verse 59 and 60. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. And then the last two that we had were Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. And then, of course, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. All right, and that concludes the scriptures for the lesson for forgiveness and forgiving. Today we're going to go into a new study, and we're going to talk about the letter G. And the letter G is going to stand for the topic of God proper. Talking about the subject of God. You know, the whole world has something to say about God, and God is a subject of the earth and a subject of human beings. Some for positive reasons, some for faithful reasons, some for negative reasons, and some for hatred reasons. But God is a subject to every human being that has grown up with normal intelligence and grown up to the age to where they can imagine, they can see the Lord in nature. And the Bible says that we're all without excuse, because nature itself doth teach us that there's a God. And when we get old enough to start noticing, hey, why? And little children, you know, they wonder, well, you know, when they get into the why stage. I remember my children, they all three of them went through that stage, and yours did too probably. But a child will get to the point where, I forget what age it was, maybe 4 or 5, I'm not sure, but they get to the age where they're curious about everything, and they want to question everything, and then they get into that why stage, W-H-Y. But why, Daddy? But why? But why? But why? But why? And they get into that. Well, when they get into that stage and they start wondering how come butterflies are so pretty and because of this and because of that, then they're going to start recognizing that there's a reason for all these things, and there has to be a reason. There has to be, even a child with a regular childlike intelligence, the Bible says that nature teaches them that there is a God. And isn't it funny how children will begin to start, the first thing that they become is curious about their environment and curious about the why of things. How come this and how come that? That's pretty amazing. And you know what that is? That's nature teaching them that there's a God. And that's God revealing Himself to them before they even get to the point to where they're going to school yet. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And I appreciate the Lord and how He works with us and how He works around us and through us. I don't know how anybody personally could take the position that there is not a God. I don't know how anybody, you'd have to lie to yourself in order to do that. I've tried to imagine in my heart and to say it to myself, there's no such thing as a God. But my heart always tells me I'm a liar because I know better. We're going to go over that, and we're going to talk about some things about God and just the subject and God proper. And like I said, this is the ABCs of Christian growth, and we're going to talk about God in general, and we're going to talk about the topics of who made God. We're going to talk about how do we know there is a God. We'll talk about how many gods are there. And then we're going to talk about the Trinity under how many gods are there. And we're going to spend a little bit of time on the Trinity. And we're going to see a whole bunch of things. And I think you're going to be impressed with it. But I got a big list, I guess 100 different things, that show that anything that is real is made up of three. And the Lord did that to show Himself in everything in His Trinity, about His Godhead. And then we're going to talk about what is God. What is God? And then we're going to talk about what is God like. What is God like? Then we'll talk about what is God called. What is He called? And that will pretty well go through the study of G. And there is a lot of, I got other studies that are more more in depth. More doctrinally in-depth, a little bit more material as far as studying, and goes a little farther into the scriptures with it. But this is the ABCs, and that's what we want to learn. And if you know this stuff in the ABCs, then you're ahead of most of the people that are in the churches that are in the fundamental churches now. They're not being taught these things. And I'm not saying every church. I'm saying most of the churches in this Laodicean era will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to know the doctrine is simply what is and what is not. And that's what doctrine is. And the doctrines of the scriptures, the doctrines of God's word, they teach us what is and what is not. And that's not the way the world wants. We know what the world wants. The world wants unity and no differences at all. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches separation, and it teaches diversity. And Jesus said, I've come to cause division. Division. And anytime you have the Word of God involved in anything, it's going to divide something. And it's going to eventually divide something. So what we're going to talk about is God. So let's begin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So there's a requirement and a responsibility in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 that the Bible tells us that an ingredient of faith is that when you come to God, it says without faith, it's first of all, it's impossible to please God. So you have to approach the Lord by faith. There is no proof that there is a God. Now, I say that with reservations. Through faith, we see all kinds of proof everywhere. And if you believe in the Lord, there are all kinds, through the eyes of faith, there is nothing but proof for the proof of the Lord and the proof of God. But the difference in people that have faith and the people that believe and that come to God and believe that He is, and the difference in people that deny and don't believe, is the difference in their faith. And the reason that people that are that do not have faith and do not believe, they're blinded and they're in darkness. And they can't see the things that prove that there are God is a God. But as far as saying just in general that there is proof that there is a God, no, there's not. There's no proof. The only way that you can prove that God is that you believe Him. The Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." So when you come to the Lord with faith, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Must believe that He is. So the entire proof of knowing that there is a God is, first of all, believing on Him. And believing on something is a choice. You can either choose to believe it or to not believe it. And that's something that the Lord gives all of us, a privilege that the Lord gives all of us, is to believe it or to not believe it. And there are people dying and going into hell as we speak. I don't know how many would, through this program alone, right now we've been into this about 17 minutes, and we'll probably wind it up in another 15 or 20 or whatever. But in that amount of time, I wonder how many people have gone into eternity. And I wonder how many of those that went into eternity have lifted up their eyes in hell, being in torments. They believe now. They believe now. And the Bible says that those that come unto Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, I've been in Sunday schools before and taught Sunday schools and dealt with little children and had bus routes and everything, and I've dealt with children concerning the Lord, and the Lord called it childlike faith. Most children are not evolutionists. They have to be brainwashed into being evolutionist. Most children, if you walk up and ask them and you don't try to influence them in any way prior to that, and you just give them the choice and put it up to their will, and you ask them, "Do you believe in God?" And they'll look at you like they'll look at you cross-eyed like you're a nut. I say, "Of course there's a God. Of course there's a God." And then you ask them why, and they'll give you good reason. They'll give you good reason. Some of them will say because the Bible says so. Some of them will tell you because my dog had puppies. Some of them will tell you because they'll tell you all kinds of things that. But the bottom line is that they believe. They believe. Little children don't have any problem believing. And the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. And the Lord said to come to him with childlike faith. For such is the kingdom of God, that you have childlike faith. In other words, you don't question God. You just believe what He says, and you believe Him. And you believe Him because you choose to believe Him, and because you believe that He's right, and that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You believe Him. Now, the Bible does not present an argument for the existence of God. When you read the Scriptures never put any kind of doubt or any kind of statements. And there are no statements in the Scriptures to bring up an argument for the question of whether there is a God. The Bible takes the position of God being a fact. The Bible speaks to us from Genesis to Revelation. It takes the fact of God for granted. In other words, it doesn't speak of whether or not when you read this book, you're going to have any kinds of doubts that there is a God, because the Bible speaks and takes it for granted that there is a God, and it's like if you did question it, the Bible would say to you, "What's the matter with you? Don't you know there's a God?" The Bible takes it for granted. Nowhere in the Scriptures does it present any kind of argument for the existence of a God. Look in it, read it, and find it. There's nowhere in the Scriptures where there's any kind of question that would come up in your mind because of you reading the Scriptures that would make you doubt the Lord. None. Now, God is the infinite and perfect Spirit, in whom all things have their source, support, and end. The Word of God reveals God to us because God is infinitely beyond our human comprehension. We have to have something to show us and to teach us who God is and that there is a God. And the Bible often couches God in human language. You see, the Bible says that God doesn't, that we don't think like God. The Lord said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." And we, if we were challenged with God's real, as far as God's, how I want to say this, if God were to reveal himself completely as God himself without breaking it down to human standards and human, by not breaking it down to the lower part that we are of our understanding, it'd blow our heads off of us. We can't communicate with God without God making it making communication available to us. And the way that the Lord has chosen to do that is through his word. And he chose to reveal himself through the written word of God in a language that we can understand, so that we can look and read and have faith and believe and know that he is, and to understand what his will is and what he is like. So right now, you either believe in God or you do not believe in God. And if you have any questions concerning whether or not there is a God, it's because of one of a couple things. It's because either the enemy is harassing you, the devil is always after us, trying to lie to us and tell us that there's not a God. The world definitely does not influence you to believe in God at all. As a matter of fact, it tries to turn you away from the Lord. Especially nowadays, America used to have a prominent God environment and an environment of morality and righteousness and biblical things. But now in society, it does not represent that. You do not see God in society now. Who made God? Well, the answer is that no one made God. God is eternal. God does not have a beginning. Everything has a beginning. We talked about that in our last lesson, or in a lesson that's coming up, that is, concerning creation. Everything has been created, with exception of one, and that's the Lord. He's the only one that's not does not have a beginning. Everything else has a beginning. Now, the funny thing about evolutionists is they can't even get their years right. I mean, if you listen to one 30-minute documentary on evolution, and I'm talking about just for 30 minutes, they will make a difference. And you listen to the dates and the years that they say in that 30 minutes of documentaries, one of them will say, well, 250 million years ago, and then 5 minutes later he'll say, well, this was 10 million years ago. Well, you know the difference between 250 and 10 million? That's 240 million years. That's a pretty big step. So you're telling me a man that can't even remember to where his keys are and has to be late for work because he can't remember where his keys are can tell me the difference in 10 million years and 250 million years? Hogwash. Poppycock. I don't believe that. I don't believe there's a man on earth that cannot go back 7,000 years and tell me about God, and we have to have God's word to give us history and give us background and give us the information we need to know that there's a God. And it only goes back 7,000 years to creation, or 6,000 years to creation between there. And these people want me, they don't believe 7,000 years worth of history, but they want me to think that they know 250 million years. And then when you get into some of them, they're getting into the trillions of years. It's confusion. The Lord said it's confusion, and it doesn't minister anything but questions. All that arises off of that stuff is question after question after question after question. And it's not faith, and it's not believing in God, and it's not believing that He is. Who made God? Nobody made God. God is eternal. The fact that we cannot grasp this does not make it not so. Just because we don't understand some things about the Lord does not mean that it's wrong. It just means we don't understand it. Either God has chosen not to give us that information, or either we haven't studied enough. But the Bible never contradicts itself. God's Word never contradicts itself when it comes to God talking about the Lord, and it never lies to us. And we may not understand how electricity is made or how electricity makes lights work, but you don't sit around in the dark until you figure it out. You use electricity. You can't even see electricity. It's invisible. So how do you know it's there? You know electricity is there because of the evidence of the electricity. Nobody has ever seen electricity or knows what it is. But you see the evidence of electricity. You plug an iron in and it gets hot. You know there's something coming out of that wall that makes it hot, but you can't see it. But you believe it. You say, well, what about the wind? You say you believe in the wind. Do you believe in the wind? I mean, do you really? If you had to answer yes or no, do you believe in the wind? Well, of course you believe in the wind. You're not an idiot. Of course. I have seen the wind. No, you haven't. You haven't seen the wind. The wind is invisible. You've seen the evidence of the wind. When you see the tops of those trees start from one end of the block and blow all the way across the top of the trees, all the way down to the other end of the block, you say, well, look at that wind blowing them trees. Well, you can't see the wind, but we know what you're talking about. You're talking about faith. You believe that there's wind because you see the evidence of the wind. You feel that wind come and hit you on one side of your face and go across your face, and then it leaves and go out to the other side. You've never seen it. You've never seen it, not one time. But you felt it touch you. That's evidence of the wind. There is no proof. The Bible says God is invisible. God is a spirit. You can't see God. The Bible says God, if you've seen God, that it would kill you. No man has seen God at any time. And the Lord said, you can't see His face and live. Well, of course, we know that the Lord's talking about our Heavenly Father. Now, Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We see God in Jesus Christ, in His body, in the body of Jesus Christ. The fullness of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are the fullness and the fulfillment and everything that you get to see or need to see about God in the body. The fullness of God, bodily. But as far as seeing God, you can't see God. He's invisible. But there's a lot of evidence that says that He is. Now, how's that so hard to believe? You believe the wind, you believe the electricity, but you don't believe in God? And you say there's no proof for God? Of course, you're right. There is no proof for God. There's a lot of evidence. You see, that's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come unto Him must believe that He is. Not have proof, but believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It's pretty good stuff, isn't it? I admire the Lord for doing things the way He does them. Don't you? You know, and then you think of little minuscule pea-brain men that are stupid enough to think that they can manipulate God. Craziness, isn't it? You know, no one made God. God's eternal. And the fact that we can't grasp this does not make it so. it's a mistake to think that you need that you have to understand everything in order to believe it. That's a mistake. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, those that come unto God must believe that He, what? That He is. Now, you can believe in God if you want to. All it is a choice. All it is a choice. So, what have we learned so far? We've learned that God can't be manipulated, that the Bible does not present any kind of argument for the existence of God. We've learned that the Bible, that the Word of God takes the fact of God's existence for granted. In other words, when you open your Bible, the Bible automatically is going to teach you something about the Lord because it knows that the Lord is, because it's His Word. God is the infinite and perfect Spirit. The Bible says God is a Spirit. And in Him is the source and the support and the beginning and the end of everything. The Bible says without Him was nothing made that was made. The Word of God reveals God to us, because God is infinitely beyond our human comprehension. We can't comprehend God with these pea brains that we have. Or I have, you might not have, but we can't comprehend God by our own will. God has to reveal Himself to us. God has given us a language and given us written words to communicate with us and chosen that way to do it. And ever since you've been alive, the only thing, if you told the truth, the only thing that you've ever had any kind of evidence or information concerning the Lord is that written word between those two covers called the Word of God. Now, who made God? No one made God. God is eternal. He has no beginning. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Now, how do you comprehend that? You don't. We believe it, because that's what the Scripture says. We live in time. God lives in eternity. We understand time. We understand that there's 60 seconds in a minute. We understand that. I can hold a watch, and I can tell you when I push the button, when this minute starts, and I can tell you 60 seconds from now when it's going to end. I understand time. I understand that there's 60 minutes in an hour. I understand that there's 24 hours in a day. I understand that. I understand time. I understand years. I understand millennium. I understand decades. I understand century. That's all time. But as far as eternity, I don't understand eternity. I don't live in eternity. I've never been in the existence of eternity. Now, being saved and being born again, I can, in my mind and in my heart and in my spirit, I can live in eternity. I understand it now. Because I'm already with the Lord, the Bible says. I'm just still in the body. But I live in eternity. I'm just stranded in time now. And so are you if you're born again. Good stuff. All right, well, we're going to stop right there. Remember Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We just use one scripture, but there's going to be a lot of scriptures that we're going to talk about. I don't want to go into the next topic, which is how do we know that there is a God, because I want to go all the way through that one on one lesson, because there are several things. There's like six or seven topics about how do we know that there's a God. Well, we know, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we know it by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Right? Okay, so we know it by faith. But as far as evidence, how do we know there's a God? Does anything show us some real evidence to where we could say, you're crazy, there is a God. I believe there's a God because, you see, And after you get done with all your becauses, it's going to be because you choose to, because it's a choice. But there is evidence of God, and we'll see that on the next recording. I praise the Lord that you're listening to this, and that you, I respect you for honoring the Lord and honoring His Word, and wanting to learn about God's Word. The Lord bless you, and hope you have a wonderful afternoon or evening or morning, and rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Till the next recording, bye-bye.